Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Shalom leYehudim, shalom leBnei Noach, shalom leGoyim. It's the evening of the fourth day, Erev Kaf Dalas ba'Adar Beis, Parashas Shmini, Tashin Pei Dalas 5784. The evening of the third day, Tuesday, April 2, 2024. You're listening to Phantom Nation, aka the program coming to you from a land with enemies all around in Lebanon, Syria, Iraq, the Gaza Zone that Israel refuses to claim as rightfully Jewish land. We also have Arab Muslim enemies inside the country with citizenship. We have others in Judea and Samaria without citizenship, whose Palestinian Authority is headed by a Syrian terrorist who denies what the Germans and numerous European collaborators did to the Jews in World War II, whom Antony Blinken, who is as Jewish as Karl Marx, wants to see governor of the Gaza Strip. And then there are enemies within, also with citizenship, known in Jewish life as the mixed multitude, who might be better labeled the mixing multitude, striving to mix Gentile culture into Jewish culture. We saw many of these people after the last election, blocking traffic on the Ayalon, blocking the Ben-Gurion airport entrance, and now they were at it again on Motzi Shabbos on Saturday evening. Only now they demand complete submission to the demands of the Muslim Brotherhood in Gaza in order to rescue the hostages. And it's my hunch that the clear majority of these disruptors on Saturday night, disruptors of law and order, are unaware of the life and death of the great Rabbi Meir of Rothenburg in the 13th century, who was persecuted by Christians, who kidnapped him, and whose captors demanded so much money for his freedom, money from his community, he told his community don't. He refused the deal because he said it would only tempt the Christians to kidnap more rabbis. So he spent 7 years as a hostage and died a hostage. These disruptors are demanding a deal at any price, but it is only a maneuver, I think, to force Netanyahu to resign, which was the source of their criminality after the 2022 loss at the polls, which Netanyahu, to my mind, mishandled terribly. He agreed to negotiate with them. Big mistake. Instead of demanding with an iron fist respect for a legitimate democratic election, what he did was inadvertently validated their violation of law and order as a political tool. Politics is all about power. And getting Bibi to negotiate, well, he approved of their mob as a way to power. It pays to block traffic and access to this tiny state's principal entry and exit to the world, the airport. No problem. And who knows, Bibi's mishandling of these mobists, as I choose to call them, led to what has just happened to the Kohelet Policy Forum, the conservative think tank. Authors there of the judiciary reform that the voters voted for. Kohelet is reducing its staff and activity because their principal backer surrendered to thugs who so harassed him in his life for backing Kohelet he had to cut funding to end the thuggery ruining his life. These leftists in Israel are the same as leftists in the States. They are destroyers of the established order, implying it's illegitimate. But what really moves these people is their greed for power. That was the climax of Orwell's 1984. Yours truly in college in the 1960s at Columbia, which was the hothouse of Berkeley on the East Coast. My impression of the hardcore communists at that time, I believe they knew at some level of subconscious cognition they were inferior people. And in the private sector, in the public arena, they would be losers. So they imagined a community of utter equality between members. True communism. No competition. There's no competition between people. That disturbs human relations. No neighbor is richer than his neighbor. No one has more clothes and better clothes than his neighbor. In the first kibbutzim here over a century ago, everyone wore the same simple clothes and owned none of them. Each week they would go to the laundry with the week's clothes and pick up new things that they found in their size. That's it. And all in the name of equality. Communism appeals to losers who know that in the private secular world they would not make it. This is truly a frightening news item, then. The Kohelet Policy Forum lost its principal billionaire backer thanks to the misery these thugs imposed upon him. The MSM here said there were 100,000 in the crowd Saturday night in Tel Aviv demanding Netanyahu resign and do whatever Hamas wants, though Caroline B. Glick scoffs at that. She says maybe 10% of that were there. That'd been only 10,000 people. And whatever the motivations of these mobists, whatever they tell themselves about wanting freedom for the hostages, their behavior only strengthens the determination of the Hamas monsters to enjoy creating this division in Israel. These mobs are no friends of the hostages, but they are wreckers of national unity. I personally have not closely followed the media reports of negotiations jumping from here to Qatar and back and forth and going to Egypt. But it seems that Hamas has not budged a millimeter from its original position. Israel must free prisoners, and Israel must withdraw the idea from Gaza and restore the status quo ante. Which makes me suspect that Yahya Sinwar's desire is never to liberate the hostages, but to force Israel to invade Rafah in order to kill him. These Muslim brothers, you know, they love death. And in the invasion, Israel will also kill so many allegedly innocent ancient Palestinians, Israel will be convicted in the eyes of the world as committing genocide, just like the Nazis, what they did to them, and thus cancel sympathy for the Jews that legitimized in 1948, giving them the land as compensation for the Holocaust. And never mind that the birth of the Zionist movement emerged decades before the Holocaust. It had nothing to do with gas chambers and crematoria, as that ignoramus Obama suggested in his Cairo speech. And thus, he was in tune with Mahmoud Abbas, the Holocaust-denying terrorist murderer. So the return of these mobs, setting fires beside the highway and blocking traffic because they care so much about the hostages, when I think it's the same old spirit of the mobs after the elections. In the name of democracy, then, these post-religious Israelis refuse to respect the results of a legitimate election. And what bugged yours truly, in particular, was the ignorance and stupidity of these people. I'm no fan of uneducated and stupid Jews. Do not see the illogic, did not see the illogic of what they were doing. And not only illogic, but just dishonesty. It was virtually Orwellian to disrespect the results of the election in the name of democracy. And no less does this all resonate with Lewis Carroll's Wonderland, in which words mean what the tyrant wants them to mean. What these mobists are doing is providing lots of video to Arab TV stations to broadcast to the enemy the discord here and let them enjoy and see us in our weakness, which it is. It's the malevolent handiwork of the mixed multitude, the Erevav, who hated the last election because the voters voted to deprive the High Court of its greedy post-Jewish monopoly. Led by Ehud Barak, the shameless atheist who was behind all that uncivil disorder, which supports my view that religion it was at the heart of those mobs. As I believe religion is the most powerful engine of history, I began college majoring in English, thinking of becoming a journalist, only the classes bored me, and in particular, in the second semester of my second year, I had a class on 18th century English literature by an assistant professor working on a dissertation at Harvard named Edward Said. This was a year before the Six-Day War, and he introduced himself to his students as a Lebanese Christian, this future charlatan and fraud. It was the boredom of that class that terminated my life as an English major and switched. Other excellent classes at Columbia had me thinking of the importance of religion in history, and I've always been interested in religion, even though I wasn't religious, and I switched majors, and after graduation began a PhD program at the University of Chicago. But in that year, I lost all interest in the field. Why is for another time. this crowd on Saturday evening shrieking for the hostages? This was probably attended mostly by non-friends and non-relatives of those in the clutches of these Arab monsters, these defective versions of what human beings should be. And that was Mickey Rosenbaum. So Easter Sunday came and went this year with, not surprisingly, evidence that classical anti-Jew Christians are still out there. I have personally the greatest respect and affection for so many Protestant Americans who I consider to be the greatest Christian community in history, for producing people with good values, a sense of right and wrong, practice charity. They find inspiration in their scripture, and they are unique in history as Christians in seeming to be lacking in the kind of hysterical Jew hatred that led to massacre after massacre sparked by principally Catholic priests. It is Christianity that was crippled by a baseless hatred of Jews. There remains, however, no shortage of classical Christian anti-Jews. For example, it seems to be the current chairman of the U.S. Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Charles Q. Brown, according to Israel's Khan News Radio, on Motzi Shabbos, on Saturday night, they reported that Israel's chief of staff, his counterpart, Lieutenant General Herzi Halevi, in a recent conversation with him, heard the general say, quote, "We will not accept any more thousands of innocent deaths in Rafah, as in Gaza City and Khan Yunis," close quote. There are a couple of things here which remind one of the classical anti-Jew. He posits that Israel has killed thousands of innocent people. If not on purpose, then in an act of colossal carelessness. Also curious is the, quote, "We will not accept any more thousands, and I ask, who is this we? We, the people of America, in whose name he claims to speak, this general? This is politics. Or maybe he was using the royal we of the home country, condescendingly dictating to the vassal colony." And what is so disgusting here is the record of the U.S. Army in its activities in the Middle East in recent years, in places like the wild country of Afghanistan, in Iraq and Mosul. The implication that Jews kill innocent people wantonly is anti-Semitism, because it's a lie, and Jew hatred always rests on lies about Jews being not the chosen people, but just the opposite, the most evil people in the world, whose existence threatens mankind, and for this they had to be exterminated in the mind of Adolf Hitler. Not only his mind, but that of his inner circle. Like him, all of them baptized in the Roman Catholic faith. And then there were the words of a U.S. senator from Woke, Oregon, Democrat Jeff Merkley. He issued a message starting with, quote, "On this Easter, let's ponder Netanyahu's indiscriminate bombing of Gaza, which has killed more than 20,000 women and children, and his restriction on humanitarian aid, which has pushed Palestinians to the brink of famine. But we must also recognize that America is complicit in this tragedy by resupplying Israel with bombs and failing to use America's leverage to increase and deliver humanitarian aid into Gaza." Reflecting on his admonition to feed the hunger and visit the stranger, and "blessed are the peacemakers," that's from Matthew, let's push Biden to do better. Let's get more aid. No more bombs, close quote. That's right, Jeff. Jews bomb people indiscriminately. They are no better than any Arab terrorist who explodes himself on a city bus in rush hour and kills people indiscriminately. The random killing of people, tens of thousands of women and children killed indiscriminately. Like the Jews who were lined up in front of trenches and shot at Babi Yar. No different. Anti-Semitism always manifests as lies, delusions, myths, legends, fairy tales. Never a speck of truth in what anti-Jews accuse the Jews of doing, and not being the chosen people but the worst people in the world, who engage in the indiscriminate killing of women and children. On the other hand, a behavior like this by anti-Jews commonly does frighten and makes yours truly smile. Frightened, for our history is filled with goyim out of control in their hatred and violence against us, but I smile for their lunacy. I see evidence of the truth of Yiddishkeit in this behavior. On earth there must be hundreds, even thousands, of religions and religious sects. Not one of them does this to some human minds, like all the sexual perversions, LGBT, etc., which I used to believe in a Freudian kind of way that they were the result of trauma, which may have triggered the addiction, which they're all addictions, but the temptation is, so to speak, factory installed. Freud doesn't deal with that. It comes with the human psyche that predates any trauma. people are born with the potential of hating Jews because they represent a God who sees everything and wants his greatest creation to choose and do good over evil, so that the presence of the Jews in the mind triggers the constant, buried sense of guilt in all civilized people who are educated to develop a sense of guilt. Hitler himself got it right when he said he hated Jews for introducing into the world the concepts of guilt, mercy, compassion, when his ideal role model was the conquering Teutonic warrior who kills without guilt and without compassion. And so it is not surprising on Easter that someone like Senator Merkley would envision the Jews guilty of mass murder, because Easter is all about the guiltiest man on earth, who was executed on Friday, sent there by the Jews, but on Sunday he survived, came back to life, and did not go to hell as envisioned by Christians. That's the will of the Old Testament strict, unforgiving, merciless deity, who wants to send everyone to hell, but not if they believe Jesus is really God, who let himself to be killed, and thus save mankind from that merciless Old Testament deity, who wants to send everyone to hell for all eternity. And that was David Gurwitz. And you're listening to the program on PhantomNation.com. So the destroyers, the wreckers, are back with their criminal mobs, hiding behind the tragedy of the hostages to restart their version of Trump derangement syndrome directed at Netanyahu, who bothers me too, but not for any malevolence or criminality on his part. Just the wrongheadedness of being raised a so-called, as he calls himself in his autobiography, a secular Jew, which when you think about it is an oxymoron. The syllable Jew is short for Judean, a man of Judea, that Antony Blinken calls the West Bank and believes it should belong to Muslims. And Judea, the Latin corruption, goes all the way back to the matriarch Leah, who thanked God for the birth of her fourth son, Yehuda, both words rooted in the verbal root to thank. So the concept of the Jew is rooted in thanking God, which a Jew is required to do 100 times a day, which makes a secular Jew an oxymoron because secularism, according to the OED, the Oxford English Dictionary, means opposed to religion. So secular Jew means a God-thanking opponent of religion, which makes no sense. And it is that mentality that shaped the reborn Jewish Commonwealth and accounts for a chronic misreading of not only the enemy, but an enemy who is nothing but his religion and motivated only by it. Since October 7, honest reporters in the MSM here know that Bibi is not the main culprit for the fiasco. It's heavily tangential to say it's all his fault. It's ridiculous. Every security agency believed with him, you know, that Hamas had been militarily deterred after three, four operations, beaten enough by the IDF to give up on violence toward us and turn toward social welfare for the concerns of their people. What Israelis like Netanyahu do not see is that the violence directed against us is not part of a larger strategic plan to destroy Israel. The violence is an end in itself, the pleasure of dominating and humiliating Jews. One of the freed hostages described her captors as a family who used her as a slave to cook and to clean the toilets, even play with the children to keep them occupied. What a coincidence. We are on the verge of remembering the flight from Egypt 3,337 years ago, and here we are again being used as slaves, as we were used as slaves by the Nazis. The attack on October 7 was a fine specimen, suggesting that there was no military purpose, as that might commonly be construed. This was not an attack by soldiers against an Israeli position of soldiers in order to advance toward victory on a battlefield. No, its purpose was just to brutalize and cause immense pain, not only physical pain, but psychological, emotional, producing a real nightmare in which demons enter your home to tie you up and make you watch as they chop off the fingers of your little boy one by one, or watch as you shove the baby into an electric oven that is on, putting him on the burning coils, as mother watches as she's being raped. What pleasure for them to be so cruel to fellow human beings because they have been taught in UNRWA schools that Jews are not really human, they are evil incarnate. The worst people in the world who made up a story about some Holocaust in order to trick people into letting them steal Palestine from ancient Palestinians, whom the Jews continue to prevent from having their own state that they have pined for over thousands of years. And this is why Bibi falls down in my eyes, because he talks about rehabilitating the Gaza Strip for the Palestinians, making it an even better place to live, a new Singapore. What he might do instead is tell the world, this is our land, our country, and we want these fraudulent welfare schemers out of our country. They're not Palestinian refugees. There's nothing Palestinian about them. They're not refugees. And we want these people, these Muslim Arabs, supported by World Anti-Jewry, to get off of our property. Israel has the right, even obligation, to tell the world we are under no obligation to care for the welfare of these savage people. We are under no obligation to tolerate their presence and periodically force us to send our soldiers against them and die in the process. Instead, Bibi, the Israeli provincial, thinks Israel will win friends by imagining a better future for the Palestinians in Gaza, when he might win respect for Israel greater than ever before by demanding these barbarians go live someplace else.
רבי שמעון בר יוחאי, רבי שמעון צדיקאי, רבי יהודה בר אילאי,
Joseph Carduner. Okay, that's it for this weekly freebie podcast. For those who want 3 podcasts a week, please subscribe at phantom-nation.com. And if you're still subscribed after a year, the subscription becomes free. You might also want to check out what others have called the best book ever on the war against Israel. Some have called it a literary masterpiece. Phantom Nation, Inventing the Palestinians as the Obstacle to Peace. Until next week, I'm Shai Ben-Tekoa.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.